This is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah when he said, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." This is God's word. In Jesus' name. There's an attitude out there, probably popular among the advertisers, that the medium is the message. According to this way of looking at things, how something is said is more important than what is said. For us Christians, the better way of thinking is that delivery and content should match each other and reinforce one another. The word of God, written down by Isaiah, had spoken of a voice that would come crying. In our epistle for today, Paul says that whatever was written in the scriptures was written for our understanding, for us Christians to understand, to acknowledge, to take to heart, to repent, to believe. The word spoke of the most unlikely of persons. In fact, his personality recedes into the background. His hopes, his dreams, his plans for life are all removed from our view, and he is simply called a voice, almost without a name. And it is as if his whole life and existence is defined by his verbalizing something. And though the message is later clearly identified by the prophet Isaiah, he begins by stating that the voice will be crying. And look at the most unlikely of places, the wilderness. The voice will be crying in the wilderness. The wilderness was the very place where Israel of old had shed many tears, crying out there when she was wandering for 40 years, where God punished her for her rebellion against him, her failure to trust in him. She was crying out in the wilderness. Or that was the place where she was carried off on her way to exile. Like God had threatened, he carried out his threat. She was carried off, and as she was on her way in the middle of the wilderness, there is Israel again, crying. And then, 60 years later, when Israel comes back to the promised land, she's traversing the wilderness yet again, and yet she's crying because she knows the promised land to which she comes will not be like what it was when God brought Israel through the Jordan River and into the land he had promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He kept that promise to Israel over a 450-year span, and he did amazing things with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, and he brought her in to the promised land through the Jordan River. These were not simply tears that didn't have any words, but this cry was a prayer for mercy, a prayer for help, a prayer for guidance, a prayer for wisdom, as Israel cried in the wilderness. But here is one solitary, lone voice, a voice cries out in the wilderness, a message that is strange, coming in this time, in this place, in this way, from this solitary man whose dress, garment of camel hair, leather belt, whose diet, locusts, wild honey, were things prepared for him hundreds of years before he was even born. In our gospel reading for today, we don't even hear the voice verbalizing his initial cry in the wilderness. Instead, we read a quotation written down from Isaiah chapter 40, 700 years prior. In this Christian church, the crying out, the preaching, the teaching, the comforting from the Word of God is precisely that. God's own Word is to be spoken, not human opinion. God's own Word, which is like grain or wheat, not human opinion, which is like chaff that the wind blows away. Though we don't hear the voice saying the message himself, this is what he said. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make his paths straight. How are these words received? How are they understood? That's why everything's written down, for us to understand, for us to receive in faith and repentance. Well, what does the text from the gospel say? The people were emptying their cities, their homes, the whole region. And those places were becoming like a wilderness, and the wilderness was becoming the church. There in the wilderness, the people saw their own lives clearly. With all our plans and dreams, we can't keep ourselves alive. Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word spoken by a voice that is true and that points to someone else. We don't hear the voice, but in the wilderness they heard a solitary man who was all the prophets rolled into one voice, in his crying, in his clothing, in his food, in his message, and in his mission. The people, what was their response? They were stirred up. They were called. They heard the message, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. What did they understand? What should we understand from Isaiah 40? That we are called on to prepare the way of the Lord. We are called on to make his path straight. John did it. What about you? We have to confess we don't. We can't. In fact, preparing the way of the Lord, we spend much more time in our lives preparing for everything else but the way of the Lord. Make his paths straight, it says. But what does our sin do to us? What does our sin do to our lives? It twists them up and balls them all together so that our life is not itself straight, let alone the way of the Lord. We are in the wilderness here. Our fallen nature is like a wilderness that is barren, that is solitary, that is alone. There's no resources at our disposal within ourselves to prepare a way for the Lord, to make a highway in the middle of a wilderness. We can't do it. But look, the voice is crying in the wilderness of a straight road from the water. John is lifting up his voice, and the Jordan River is behind him. There is a highway in the wilderness, right there. It flows. You could traverse it and travel on it to the end that God has in mind. So John and his words and the water beckon you to the good news that God himself will prepare the way. And yes, he is the way. His own flesh is the way God comes to you. His own word is the way God pardons you. His own body and blood is the way God feeds you unto eternal life. So the people, they not only hear the voice, but they see the water. There's the highway in the wilderness where all of a sudden things are green, where they shouldn't be. And so then they follow John down into the water, confessing their sins, acknowledging that we can't prepare the way for the Lord. We can't make his path straight, but he has made a way, and it's right here. You know, the Jews would have been amazed at John and his message and his baptism because he washed them. In Judaism, you wash yourself. Okay? And as adults, that's how it goes. Only the very young or the very old are washed by someone else. But here is John washing people with his message and with his pointing to the one who's coming. Someone else has to do it. Someone else has to bring salvation. Someone else has to prepare the way. Someone else has to build the straight road. Someone else has to wash me and make me clean. And it is God alone who does all these things through his powerful word. And John is a voice for that powerful word. The good news brought by the voice next to the water and in the water brings forth good fruit where you wouldn't expect it to be. Just like there's a stump that has a shoot that Isaiah says will bear fruit. So the same for us in our life connected to Jesus. We are buried with him through baptism and raised again, Paul says in Romans chapter 6, and we bear fruit, much fruit, fruit that lasts, fruit that culminates when we praise God. There is the end. There is the delicious fruit that God has planted and brought about in your life. The voice prepares the way for the Word made flesh. The Lord's flesh is His way toward you. The Word made flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the one who sent a voice to prepare the way before Him and who had that Jordan River waiting there for Him to preach. Our Savior is the one who calls forth praise from our lips. He opens up our lips that our mouths might declare God's praise. The writer of the Hebrews puts it this way: through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess His name. The voice of John calls us to repentance and faith in Jesus, whose death and resurrection and our baptism instituted by Him opens our lips so that we might declare God's praise. This praise, coming from many different people, in many different circumstances, even from different times, unites as one, as Paul puts it in our epistle. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with the melody, Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory, like John would have it, forever and ever. Amen. We join together with one voice as a congregation to sing the words of David, joining our voice to his, and the words of the